Christ with me and Christ before me, Christ behind me and Christ in me, Christ beneath me and Christ above me, Christ to my right and Christ to my left, Christ when I lie down and Christ when I rise, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, and Christ in every ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
A very warm welcome on this sunny morning. Isn't it nice to have the warmth of the sun? It makes a nice change, doesn't it? Just to let you know, I'm sure everybody knows Pam. She's now moved to a care home. She moved, I think it was at the week on Friday. And the care home is called Windermere Grange. So I'm sure all our thoughts and prayers are with her and her family, Carrie. I find it quite sad to sort of see how she's deteriorated, but I'm sure God's with her, and we'll just give her our prayers and thoughts. So we now hand over to John, who's going to lead us in our service. Thank you.
Good morning.
Lovely to be with you. It's nearly 12 months since I was here, I think, when I came last time. I'm going to use some visual aids this morning. It's my favourite way of preaching, I think. I used to do it when I first started preaching, and it seemed to work then, so I've gone back to doing it. But it's not a lecture. Hopefully you'll find it interesting. Okay. So we're on the fourth month of the Bible series, looking at the book of Genesis. I don't know what you've been doing here. Some churches are following the circuit suggestions and just looking at the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Other churches are looking at the whole of Genesis. I'm going to follow the circuit, and we're just going to do that final bit. So I'm doing the fourth one. Hopefully you've had three more. You'll remember how it all starts. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it's the beginning of the kingdom of God, what God intended for this world in which we lived. And he wanted it to be full of his glory. How it all happened is for scientists to find out. A very simple story, a children's story almost, we have in the Bible. But there's the basics of it all. This is God's world for us to enjoy. His kingdom established here. And we're going to sing our first hymn all about the kingdom of God. I think the words will be on the screen and we'll stand to sing. Father, we thank you for this world that you have created for our enjoyment. And we pray, Lord, as we continue with our studies in Genesis, as we think about our responsibilities in the world, I pray that you will be in our thinking, be in our listening, and as we go from here, be in our actions as well. Help us as we come together this morning to worship you as well, and give you the rightful place that you have in our lives. We thank you for each other, and we thank you that together we can join in being part of your kingdom. And we thank you that we can come together and worship you. We thank you that we can bring our offering to you as well. And we pray that you will take all that we give, and all that we do, and all that we are, and make it for your purposes and for your glory. We pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
When God created the world, he intended we should have a relationship with him, and he wanted a relationship with us. And he gave us the responsibility as stewards of looking after his world. We don't always do it terribly well, do we? But that's part of our responsibility. He also intended that we should be united. And together, all of us as partners, working equally. No one particular sex or one particular group dominating another. All of us to be together and work together in partnership. But as we read through the Genesis story, we haven't always got it right. We don't always give God the place that he should have. We don't look after the world always in the way we should. And we certainly don't get on with each other as we ought to do. And right from the start, God always made it clear that anything that goes wrong will go and get punished. Adam and Eve were told not to eat the fruit from one particular tree, and that if they did, they would die. They didn't die straight away, as you will remember, no doubt, from the first Sunday. But they did die eventually. That was never God's intention. He wanted life. Eventually, they did die. Pain came into the world. It became much harder to look after the world as the weeds and other problems began to arise. But God is always a God of mercy. He doesn't just punish. He will also forgive. And he will also give us a new start. When Cain and Abel fell out with each other, and Cain killed Abel, God punished Cain, sent him away from where he was, but he also put a mark on Cain so that no one would harm Cain, a mark of God's grace. And then, of course, you will remember in the story of Noah that God eventually destroyed his creation with a flood. But at the end of the flood, he brought back life again. And if you read through the New Testament into Peter's letter, you'll find that Noah was a preacher. And he preached and encouraged people to get in the ark. They all ignored him, of course, thought he was daft. God's grace was reaching out to people, giving people a chance to respond in the right way. And God constantly does that. He punishes wrong, but he also has grace. He will always forgive. And he makes a covenant with his people. The symbol of the rainbow was the covenant in Noah's day. And we in the Methodist Church have our own covenant as well. We have our covenant service. God promises that we can be his people and he will look after us. But we've also got a responsibility to enter into the covenant as well. And no doubt in September, or maybe you do it in January, you'll be having your covenant service when once again we make our promise to faithfully serve God and let him put us to whatever he wants us to do. After the flood, the nations moved out into the world. They spread. And things began to go wrong. They very, very soon forgot all about God. And if you read chapter 10 of Genesis, then you'll find that the three sons of Noah had people who became part of their generation. One group totally opposed God. Another group became part of the children of God. And another group just carried on with life, as it didn't seem to bother them at all which way it all went. The three sons of Noah, Japheth, Ham, and Shem. God always seems to favour the youngest son, Shem. And from Shem, we have the children of Israel descending, and eventually through Jesus and through to Christianity today. God's people. But there was a big group in the world who totally ignored God. What sort of thing did they do? Well, let's have our reading from Genesis chapter 11.
Thank you for that summary, John. We're going to be having this part, the Tower of Babel, when we're looking into our group, when we have our group on Tuesday. And it actually clashes with something else on telly, yeah? So I don't know how long we'll stay for that, but we'll be there. I'm going to read about the Tower of Babel from the New Revised Standard Version. And it's chapter 11 and the first 9 verses. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as I migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they all have one language. And this is the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. I'll be listening hard to John so that I know what to do on Tuesday.
Okay. While you think about all that, we're going to sing a hymn that we don't usually sing at this time of year. It's It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. It's usually a Christmas carol, but I've chosen it because I think it's the second verse that talks about that Babel sound that permeates the way through the earth and how things need to change but haven't changed, or have changed, if they have changed, in the wrong way. And we are ignoring God. And the hymn reminds us of that. So let's stand and sing. It's 205 if you're using the book.
Touch the house.
God at Christmas time came into our world to try and turn the world in the right direction. Why? Because what should have been a glorious place wasn't like that at all. When people spread over the world as they did, they ignored and tried to get rid of God. In that story, we have them building a tower. A tower that would enable them to reach up into the heavens. They ignored God's normal building material. They didn't use stones and mortar. Instead, they made bricks. And they put the bricks together using tar. And their intention was that this tower should reach up into the heavens so that they indeed could become God in the world. Their intention was to make a name for themselves. They wanted to become just like God. That was the temptation that the snake said to Eve. If you eat that fruit, you'll be just like God. I don't think it's any coincidence that when the European Parliament building was built in Strasbourg, it was designed to look like the Tower of Babel. That was the architect's idea, a building that was unfinished and that would grow and point up into the heavens. If you think about that, isn't that exactly what happens in the world? With all the different governments and control, they are trying to be just like God. And we can be terribly inventive, and they were terribly inventive. Scientifically, they became much more knowledgeable, and they're able to do all sorts of good things. They're able to make tools. Tools that would enable them to dig the earth and look after the earth a lot better. No doubt eventually, of course, we have tractors and other things, but they started in a primitive way. But the big danger with all this idea of technology is that we can soon begin to use it in the wrong way. And very easily, we can turn it into weapons of war. And people become separated and divided. We've lost our centre force. We've lost, or seem to have lost, the idea that God is in control and holds everything together. The whole world has a choice to go God's way or to go the human way. I remember a long time ago when I ran a youth club, and we had a visit from the chair of the district. And he said to the young people, if they'd come, he'd preach on whatever they wanted. They'd been talking about language at school, and they thought, I know. Tell us about the Tower of Babel and how God altered language. I think he was a bit dumbfounded by it all, but I do remember him coming. And one of the things he did say was, I don't think particularly that this was how language was formed in all the different languages. Now, you might think otherwise. Perhaps God did alter everybody's language. I don't know. But what he did go on to say was God separated people. Part of God's grace, because if he hadn't have done that, then they would have had spoken with one voice. And eventually we would have a Mr. Putin or a Chinese leader or somebody else controlling the whole of the world in which we live. Because we've got division, That has never yet happened, although they keep trying to be able to do it. But what this chair of the district did talk about was trainers. Because in those days, and this is going back way, way into the 60s, trainers were important to young people. You had to have the right ones, not those cheap, horrible ones, but the very, very expensive ones with a designer label on it. And he said that's exactly what this is all about. Everybody wants to be seen as being with it, being the right person, wearing the right things. Sadly, our Prime Minister got it wrong a few months ago, didn't he, when he was wearing trainers and got some aggro from Nike, who thought perhaps that was not the thing for him to do. What is it today? Mobile phones. You must have the right mobile phone if you're a teenager. Or you must make sure that you're wired into the right provider of internet services, etc., so that you can communicate with each other. And all these things all come out of us wanting to get better and using our minds to generate things. But of course, all these things have got a bad side as well as a good side. And as people are finding out now, you know, the internet and mobile phones are fantastic, but it is causing some problems amongst the younger generation. Not that long ago, plastic was introduced into our world. How fantastic to have plastic that you could use in an incredible way to store things and look after it. And then we've got problems with that plastic breaking down and causing problems in our oceans and in our world. All the time we create new things, good things, but there is a downside to it all as well. We need to take care on what we do and how we do it. What about the world in which we live? What about the church in which we live? You know, in the church, we've got all sorts of incredible ideas about how we can alter the world. I recently did a course, the EDI course. Any of you done it? No, it's local preachers have had to do it and others. Equality, diversity and inclusion. We must be careful about how we treat people. We need to treat everybody equally. We need to make sure that we don't upset people who are diverse from us. We need to include everybody. It sounds like a fantastic idea. It sounds like we might be bringing people together, and yet there are dangers in it that we accept things that God wouldn't want us to accept. In the Methodist Church, we spend an awful lot of time talking about justice. And we need justice in our world. The post office scandal that's gone on is horrific. We need to make sure that something's done about this. Human rights are absolutely important. We've had an awful lot of stuff in our Methodist newsletters about the LGBT community and about the Pride March and about supporting gay people. And yes, we need to accept gay people. We need to love them as we love everybody else. We need to come together and to work together and to be part of that. But one of my big questions for the church is this really what we are supposed to be doing? Yes, we do need to support justice. Yes, we do need to support the gay community and accept that they have rights as well. But all of these things introduce problems into our world. That's why I also had a look at the beginning of chapter 12 of Genesis, because there we get the story of Abraham. And Abraham was told, you need to leave where you are. Where was he? He was in that area where the building, the Tower of Babel was being built. It was a pagan area, a pagan country. He was told to get himself out and to leave and to head in a completely different direction. direction. What we sometimes do in our world, even as Christians, is to try and support absolutely everything. But sometimes we need to be different. We need to be different in the way that Abraham was different. Otherwise, the world will never get back to where it should be. Because as that hymn we sang, that carol we sang, God came into the world as Jesus Christ, and he came to do something about the world in which we live. He came to die on a cross. And he wants us to worship him and to follow him and to do it with our whole hearts. Abraham was prepared to leave everything and go the way God wanted him to go. And one of the questions for us is, are we just going to support everything that goes on in the world, or are we going to be different? One of the things that really challenges me is, am I different? Or is the only difference between me and everybody else is I go to church on a Sunday? What about you? Are you any different than the rest of the people that you meet? Is the only difference is that you turn up for an hour on a Sunday morning? Or are we really different? Are we really following Jesus and going in the direction that he wants us to go? Are we trying to bring God back into our world again and try and encourage other people to go in the same direction? Let's think about that while we sing our next hymn. Those who follow shall not fall. Abraham was prepared to leave everything and to go the way of God and turn his back on this Babel place. What about us? I do think we need to bring back into church the message that there is hope for the world, and the hope is in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, who wants to forgive our sins and wants us to be his disciples. Not an easy thing to be a disciple, but help is available. Help is available in the form of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when he went back to heaven, said he would pray for us. Jesus, when he went back to heaven, said he would give us a new comforter, a new teacher, a new helper, someone to walk with us. That happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was poured out, and people began to speak in languages they had not heard, not learned. And everybody who was there heard God speaking to them in their own language. It was a reversal of what had happened at Babel, when the languages had all been mixed up. Now everybody could hear God's message in their own tongue. That gift of Holy Spirit is still available to us today. And people questioned it at the time. What's happening? What's going on? Are these people drunk? And Peter stood up and said, no, they're not drunk. This is something that was promised a long, long time ago by the prophet Joel. God would pour out his Spirit on all people. And right at the very end of his message, they began to ask, well, what should we do? And Peter told them what they should do. Jean's going to read that little bit for us.
This is from Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 41. When the people heard this, they were deeply bothered, troubled, and said to Peter and to other apostles, what shall we do, brothers? Peter said to them, each one of you must turn away from the sins and baptized in the Son name of Jesus Christ. At that, your sins will be forgiven, and you will realize God's gift, the Holy Spirit. For God's promise was made to you and your children and all who are far away and whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Peter made his gospel to them, and with many other words, he urged them, saying, save yourselves from the punishment coming on the wicked people. Many of them believed the message and were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to the going that day, the group that day. Amen.
Whenever the church has really preached about Jesus and realized that they are full of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit will help them, then the church has grown. 3,000 people on that day. A few chapters later in Acts, it's 5,000, and so it goes on. When the early Methodists came to the York area, that's what they preached. They didn't have a building. They just preached and shared Jesus. And the church grew. Started apparently in Acom, and then gradually spread to the whole York area. I forget how many churches we've got now, but we've got an awful lot, probably less than we did have at the time. But the church grew. Why? Well, not because they were concerned about everything that was going on, but they had one big message. Jesus Christ wants to be your Lord, wants to be your Saviour, and the Holy Spirit wants to live in you so that you can do the things that God wants you to do. It's a bit like the call of Abraham to leave the present life you've got and to devote yourself as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the church began to grow. And if only as churches we can get back to that message, then I'm sure we can grow again. And not only can we grow, but we can also reach a younger generation. We might have to do it in a different way that we do it here and now, but the message is still the same, that Jesus is the Saviour of the world and wants us to be like Abraham, going and going God's way. We can't build our own thing. We need to have a thought about what God is doing and wanting to do. And eventually, one day, God will bring heaven and earth together. I don't know whether you did Bible Month last year when we looked at Revelation, but it was an awful lot about the glory of God filling the earth, heaven and earth coming together, and God sorting all things out. And part of the message there was that you're weapons of war will be turned into plowshares, a thing of peace. People will come together again in the way that God really intended, and God's glory really will fill our world. We can make a difference, or rather, Jesus can make a difference if we allow him to in our lives and in the lives of the people that we meet and come into contact with. We're going to sing another song now that is quite a new one, but I don't know whether you know it. Those who've put the words together, are they like to know it? Or?
I think so.
Good, all right, well, we're standard sing. I can't even remember what it is now, but let's have a look. May the God of hope fill us every day. And then after that, we'll do our prayers. Okay, may the God of hope go with us every day. 411, if you're using the book. Shall we do it again?
Yeah. I think there is another verse, actually.
Is that it's in the book.
Is that right?
There is a second verse in the book.
There is a second verse in the book, yeah. But we haven't got an organist, so if we haven't got the words, we can't do it. Is that right, Peter?
Well, I'll try again. I don't know if we've got a second verse.
Okay. We've just got the one verse, so we'll start again. Right. Are you ready? You need to come straight in. When you have an organist or a pianist, you can do the second verse, okay. But that was good. It's one of those lovely bouncy songs that you can almost go out and bounce to. But we need to put it into practice. Praying, singing, being filled with joy, and realising that God will go with us. As we come to prayer, I thought we'd use the Lord's Prayer. But I thought we'd use it in a different way. I thought we'd say the Lord's Prayer, but say it one sentence at a time. So we'll put the words up on the screen. So we say the first line, and then I'm going to say some prayers in between, and also leave some silence for you to make your own prayers as well. And then at the end of that, I'll say, or we could even join together and say, may the God of hope go with us every day. And then we'll move on to the second line of the Lord's Prayer. Is that okay? Good. Let's start then with how the Lord's Prayer starts. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God, that you are in control of our world. And we thank you that you came into our world as Jesus Christ. And you have lots of names in the Bible, and we can take and hold on to some of those names, maybe even some of the names of Jesus, who was the light of the world, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, the good shepherd, the one who wants to guide us and lead us. We pray that you will help us to follow him and to make Jesus the centre of our lives and to share him with other people. And a moment of silence for your own thoughts as you think about those things. May the God of hope go with us every day. And we say together, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We thank you for that great day when heaven and earth will come together. But until that day happens, we pray that you will do all that you can do through your people to change this world in which we live. We pray that somehow war may cease in Ukraine, in Gaza, in Sudan, in lots of other places in the world. We pray, Lord, that you will eradicate violence and animosity between teenagers and between people generally in our world. And we think about poor people in the world, people who just haven't got enough to eat or enough money to do everything. We pray that we will continue to support the food banks. But Lord, we also pray for the day when we won't need food banks anymore because everyone will have enough. And we think about the general election that's coming up. We pray that you will help us to cast our votes wisely. And we pray that the new government, whatever party they happen to be, pray that they will have a different view of our world, that they will make sure that everyone has enough to eat, enough money to keep going, that the health service and other problems in the world will get resolved. We pray, Lord, for our new parliament when it is formed. And again, a moment of silence for you to think about these things. May the God of hope go with us every day. And our next prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Heavenly Father, we all have needs. And we know lots of people who have needs as well. Financial needs, mental needs, health needs. In a moment of silence, we bring our needs and we bring the needs of people that we know to you and ask you to reach out to them and to meet those needs in the name of Jesus. And may the God of hope go with us every day. And our next prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Heavenly Father, we do say things that are wrong. We do things that are wrong. And so often we don't do the right things that we should do. We ask that you will forgive us. And a moment of silence for us to confess our sins from the past week and ask for God's forgiveness. And part of our responsibility, Lord, in asking for your forgiveness for us is us asking forgiveness of other people. So, Lord, help us to forgive when people offend us and upset us and challenge us. And again, a moment of silence to think about, is there someone that you ought to forgive, become friends with again? Reach out to them in the way you would want God to reach out to you. May the God of hope go with us every day. And our penultimate prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We do realise, Lord, that there are evil forces in the world that would want us to do something that you have told us not to do, just like Eve did, just like Adam did, just like Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Sometimes we're tempted to use our own resources just for ourselves. Sometimes we want to be important and have people think that we're important. Sometimes we really do test your patience. We pray, Lord, that you will protect us from temptation, but also help us together with you to deliver us from all the temptations that we face so that we always go in the right direction. In your final moment of silence, you might like to pray for the coming week, anything you face, that God would go with you and not lead you into temptation, but to deliver you from evil. May the God of hope go with us all every day. And we can say together the final part of the prayer. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. God has made a covenant with us. He asks us to make a covenant with him. And we can make a difference in our world. It's a complicated world, a difficult world, but we can make a difference as disciples of Jesus Christ. And so we sing our final hymn all about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God coming into our world, into our lives. As you go into the coming week, answer the call and bring hope to the world in which you live. And may God really bless you as you do that and make you a blessing everywhere you go. Amen.
Amen. Can I just mention, I completely forgot, but one of the notices is that it's Oasis on Friday morning, and everybody's welcome for tea, coffee and cake, or business, whatever. Thank you.